Okay, a shaila that I've been asked several times, and it's an unfortunate shaila, but it comes up a lot apparently. Sometimes you're a guest at somebody else's home on a Shabbos, and you see, you happen to notice, not that you're snooping around or anything, but you notice that the way they heat up their food on Shabbos is not really halachically correct, assuming that you know what the halachos are. So the shaila becomes, what do you do? And this has happened several times where people have asked me, various friends of mine have asked me, they've been at someone's house, and the following thing happened. The hostess opened up the oven on a Shabbos afternoon and removed all the food from the oven that she had obviously not kept there overnight. She obviously put it in the oven on Shabbos morning to warm up, directly in an oven that was turned on to warm up on Shabbos. So what do? Are you allowed to eat such food, or are you not allowed to eat the food when it was warmed up in such a way? And this is obviously a much broader topic of Maisa Shabbos. I just want to focus on this particular Shaila because we only have 10 minutes. But Maisa Shabbos is a much bigger topic, just in general. Can you get Hana'ah from malacha that was done on Shabbos? There is a general list of getting hanah from malacha that was done on Shabbos. Sort of Zilberstein in the Sefer Varevna, Chelik Beis, on this week's Parsha, on Parsha Kisava, on the Tochacha, it says one of the curses is that you're going to build a house and not be able to live in it. So his connection is to a Shaila where a guy was a non-frum Jew, and he worked as a carpenter his whole life, and he was not just a carpenter, a contractor, an artist, and he built a lot of beautiful things, and he was very busy, and the only time he had to build his own house was on Shabbos. So he built his own house every single Shabbos. He would just work on his own house, and he built all the furniture in his house every Shabbos. And then he became a Baal Tshuva, and he got to the halacha about Maisa Shabbos when he was learning halacha, and he said, oh my gosh, I'm not allowed to live in my house because it's Maisa Shabbos. It was all Maisa Shabbos. Every last detail was Maisa Shabbos. Okay, so that's an interesting Shaila that's perhaps a little more intense. But let's focus on this issue of what do you do when they're taking food out of the oven and you're a guest at somebody's home. So the halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Yud Ches Sif Aleph is as follows. Hamevashel b'Shabbos, o sha'asa achas misham alachos. If a person cooks on Shabbos, or does any other malacha on Shabbos, it's really not only about cooking, it's about any malacha that's done on Shabbos, b'mezid, but the malacha was done b'mezid, asr lo li'olam li'acherim mutzul motzoy Shabbos miyad. So the person who did the malacha is never allowed to benefit from the malacha. Other people are allowed to benefit from the malacha as soon as Shabbos is over. That's if it was done b'mezid. Now, I think it's reasonable to assume if you're at someone's house and you see them taking food out of the oven, it's likely they did the malacha b'shogeg. They did the avi, shouldn't call it malacha. They did it b'shogeg. They probably didn't realize that it's also to warm up food on Shabbos by putting food into an oven that's turned on. So it says a b'shogeg aser bo bayom gam la'acherim ule'erev mutter gam lo miyad. If it was done b'shogeg, no one's allowed to enjoy the benefit from the malacha on Shabbos. As soon as Shabbos is over, then everyone's allowed to benefit from the malacha, including the person who did the malacha. That's the general rule of Maisa Shabbos. Rule number two, that's important to know, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Nun Gimel says that the Isser, this Knas, that we don't allow you to benefit from Maisa Shabbos, is only if what was violated was an Isser Daraisa. But if what was violated was Nisr Drabbanan, then there's no such knas of benefiting from Maisa Shabbos. So you think, okay, we're home free. What did the person do? They didn't take raw chicken and put it in the oven on Shabbos morning. You assume that much they know, right? They're not being mevashel on Shabbos morning. What did they do? Much more likely, they took chicken that was already cooked from before Shabbos and they just warmed it up, which is an Isr Drabbanan of Chazara. It's an Isr Drabbanan of warming up in such a way where you're just putting it directly into an oven. However, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Nun Gimel, Magen Avraham over there is very, very clear. Rama, Reish Nun Gimel Aleph, and the Magen Avraham explains it, that there are a couple of exceptions to that rule. There is some Yisurim Drabbanan, that even though it's only Drabbanan, still we're going to apply this Knas that you're not allowed to benefit from them on Shabbos. And one of them is Chazara. Shehiyah is one, Chazara is the other one. Right? That by these, look, if the Yisur Drabbanan was something like someone cooked in the sun, so cooking in the sun, betoldas chama, let's say, or bechama, bishul bechama, is only nisa drabana. So if someone cooked something that was raw before and they cooked it in the sun somehow, they're in Arizona or something, they cooked in the sun, so that's nisa drabana that I'm allowed to eat it, because there's no such knas. But the Yisra Drabbanan of Chazar in particular, of heating up food by putting it directly on a fire, directly in an oven, that the knas is still going to apply. So that's where we're gonna run into trouble. Another important principle, the Bir Halacha in Reish Nun Gimel, Dibra Maskel V'in, in some Reish Nun Gimel, and Magen Avraham, B'Shem the Kolbo, say that the rule by Maisa Shabbos in general is, if there's any shita out there that exists, that holds that what was done is mutter, even if we don't paskin that way, if there's such a shita in Rishonim that holds that it was mutter, then you're allowed to, if there's no such knas, you're allowed to enjoy it on Shabbos. Again, you're not allowed to do it, but if there's any shita that holds, let's say you hold, like certain poskim will say, that if your hot plate gets really, really hot, way above Yatzaleda, so you're not allowed to put food directly on a hot plate. But there are many other poskim that say, no, as long as it doesn't have a knob, and it's even if it gets super hot, but it doesn't have a control knob, so it's not practical to cook on it, so it's mutter to put food directly. So it doesn't matter what you personally hold. If you're eating at someone's house and they hold the other way, you're certainly allowed to eat the food there. But there has to be one shita. You have to be able to point to one shita that says, okay, that what they did is really okay. As long as there's one shita that exists, then you're allowed to go ahead and eat the food. Furthermore, another heter that exists out there, Magen Avraham, Reishon and Gimel, Sivkat Yud Aleph, discusses the following case. The Rama over there says, this knas is only for the person who this knas of chazara, that when you did chazara, that you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of that, that's only for the person himself. But for other people, it's okay. The knas doesn't apply. However, the Magen Avraham says, how do we define what's low and what's la'achirim, what's for himself, what's for others? Anyone who was done for is called low. Anyone who just happens to come in the picture later is called la'achirim. So if someone invites me over to their house, already from Tuesday they invited me, you know, they know that I'm coming to Shabbos, they cooked everything for me, and they certainly warmed it up that morning knowing that I'm coming. So I don't have a heter there, because it's low, it's for me, it's certainly not called la'achirim. If someone else just happens to waltz in the door unexpected, so they're allowed to eat, because it wasn't done, it wasn't warmed up for them. It was warmed up for the people who were originally invited. So right now it seems to be that we're in a little bit of trouble. So what we need to discover is there any such shita that exists? Does anyone hold that you're allowed to put food in an oven to warm it up on Shabbos? So the closest I was able to come up with was the following two possibilities. Magen Avraham writes that if the food is at a point where further warming makes it taste worse, it's mitstamek v'ralo, then this knas won't apply. The problem, of course, is you don't know what the condition of the food was when it was put in the oven. So that's an impossible kula to use, because you have no idea if it's in fact mitstamek v'ralo or if it was mitstamek v'yafalo. The other possible kula is Rav Aaron Cutler had a shita that in order to make an oven, garuf v'katum, to put a blech on an oven, you don't need, or a stove, you don't need to cover the actual fire. All you really need to do is cover the knobs. Because since the whole concern is shami yichat b'gecholim, you're going to try to adjust the fire. We don't adjust the fire by putting more wood on top of our stove. We adjust the fire by turning the knobs. So Rav Aaron Cutler held, all you got to do is cover the knobs. And he held that this is true, both to save you from the Yisra of Chazara, of putting food on fire on Shabbos, as well as the Yisra of Shehiya, of leaving food cooking from before Shabbos. Covering the knobs is good enough. So if you happen to notice they're taking food out of the oven, but the knobs of the oven are covered in some way, so then, l'chora, you could eat the food. I would never pass on like Rav Aaron Cutler in that, primarily because Rav Moshe disagrees, but also because Rabbi Eider points out, Rav Aaron Cutler's shita makes a lot of sense for Shehiyah, for leaving food cooking. By Shehiyah, what's the reason why you're not allowed to leave food cooking from before Shabbos, with a lot of exceptions, obviously, but what's the reason why you're not allowed to leave it cooking on an open flame? On an open flame from before Shabbos, because we're afraid you're going to come to adjust the fire. So we need to do something to the fire to manipulate it, to remind you not to adjust the fire. So that I understand. You cover the knob, that's good enough. But by Chazara, there are two concerns. One concern is that I'm going to come to adjust the fire. The other concern is that when I take food and I put it in an oven or on a fire on Shabbos, even if it's already cooked, it's what we call mechzi kemevashel. It looks like it's cooking. It looks like I'm cooking, because I'm taking food and putting it in an oven. Covering the knobs, how does that solve mechzik and mevashel? It solves the problem of shemi yichat b'gachol, that you might stoke the coal. It doesn't solve mechzik and mevashel. But so I would never pass on like Rav Aaron Cutler on that, as for the reason Rabbi Eider pointed out. But it is a shita that exists, so if someone had their knobs covered and you see them pulling food out of the oven on Shabbos day, so then you're allowed to eat that food. So what should you do? Typically, that's not the case. The knobs aren't going to be covered. It's likely someone who just doesn't know any better. So first thing you should know is you should try to develop a plan of how you're going to inform them of what the halacha is. Speak to their rav, speak to them. I had the situation once, I was eating at someone's house, and this came up, and Baruch Hashem, it was a person who I knew without any tzel shel safek, without any doubt whatsoever, that the person was going to be very grateful to know what the right thing to do is. They possibly didn't know, and they would have been very, very appreciative to learn what the right thing to do is, and I waited till after Shabbos, and I went over to the guy, and I said, you know, you should just know, and he was very appreciative. Fine, so that's the best case scenario. Now, but in the interim, you want to eat, right? So what do you do? So the halacha is, you're not allowed to benefit from the maisa that was done on Shabbos, from the issa that was done on Shabbos. What was the issa that was done on Shabbos over here? It wasn't cooking. The food is cooked before Shabbos. It was the warming of the food. So, in order to not benefit from the warming of the food, all you need to do is wait long enough for the food to work its way back down to room temperature. Once the food is back at room temperature, you didn't benefit from the warming of the food. Ah, you're going to taina. Yes, I did, because it was in the fridge overnight. So it was cold beforehand. No, but if they would have taken it out of the fridge in the morning, it would have gotten its way to room temperature by the time you ate lunch anyway. So you didn't benefit from the warming of the food as long as you wait long enough. One of my chaverim, Rabbi Binny Marilis, told me that when Rabbi Kenny Alman interviewed for the job at the Young Israel Flatbush, I guess it was like 30 years ago, whenever he started there at the Young Israel Flatbush, one of the questions they asked him on the Prabhu was, what do you do if you're at someone's house and they serve hot soup Shabbos lunch? How would you handle it? So he said, I'd sing some Zemiros. I'd say Dvar Torah. Then by that time, the soup would be cooled down to room temperature and I'd eat the soup. So you're the first one that didn't just say, what do you mean? There's a way to handle the situation. You wait till it cools down, and that way you're able to... there is one other kula that the Ramah quotes in Rishon Gimel Sif Beis, that if from the Ran, that if food was in the oven before Shabbos and then it was taken out of the oven, you're allowed to put it back in on Shabbos. But generally we don't, even though generally we don't pass them like that, if you're able to ascertain that that was the case in this situation, certainly you'd be allowed to eat it in that situation. But again, typically you can't ascertain anything, and therefore really it's something that there's not really much room to be makel with, other than to just wait until the food gets back down to room temperature.